Palawakani is a Tassie blackfella talk. That's what we say, Palawa, Tassie blackfella, Kani to speak. And I've been privileged to be involved in the retrieval of that program and in the immersion of that program for since the early 90s. Since the early 90s, we've been doing that through our program at the Aboriginal Children's Centre and across the whole state in the programs of the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre and through the community. And so to see, the children's engagement in that and the community-driven approach of that has been Ngāi Mapali, which means very good in our language.
It's a language that lost its last native speaker some time ago. Many of our tribes are gone in Tasmania. How do you piece together and put together a language? What have you used?
That's a really good question. And I think historically, as we all know in Tasmania, you know, the destruction of culture and of customs is so known to all Tasmanians about Aboriginal culture. So the importance to the community to retrieve what was not a lost language, and I think that's a really important point, it was a sleeping language. So much of our history is oral history. So a lot, you know, there was gaps in documentation. It probably would be hard, Rick, to say how many languages were actually being used before colonisation. So within the retrieval process, that's a slow process. Although there were some recordings and those recordings were there, there were many gaps in that, but there was certainly enough there for us to retrieve that language to have what we now use every day. Yeah, we don't teach language, we speak language, and I think that's the point. We don't sit children down and say, today we're going to learn this. It's all about the Palawakani being part of our cultural practice. So it's not just about using our language, it's about practicing our culture and the embracing of that by our community and by non-Aboriginal community is overwhelming and little known.
Little known how much people use it?
I think, and I don't speak for everybody, but when we've had visitors to the centre from general community, I think they're quite surprised by the use of Palawakani in the service and in the program and by the children. And it certainly shows I've been there quite some time, young when I started, of course. But to see the generational change has been amazing for me. To have children in the early 90s speaking the language, 93 we did a production of a CD, Palawa Kids Kanaprila, which means Aboriginal children sing and dance. That was the second recording only of Aboriginal languages in Tasmania, first being the Spring Song with Fanny Cochran-Smith. So that was
That's an important connection to make across time as well.
Absolutely.
Recreating a language or defining an official language is always controversial. In Absolutely. Italy, when they tried to choose which dialect would be the official language, blood was shed. In New Zealand, they had to choose which would be the official Maori language of which tribe. A lot of argument, controversy, distress. What are the fights and arguments within the community about Palawakani as a language?
What I would say is that community consultation has driven the Palawakani, and that's been our focus all along in the language retrieval program, is to make sure that it's driven by community members, that the training of language workers is by community members, it's used by community members. So I think the point there is I absolutely agree with you about that. But I think everybody that's involved in it recognises we're in this position because of what happened to us as a people. And so that's the solidarity that drives, you know, binds us together to get behind using the Palawakani.
How flexible is a language? We know the French, for example, they have a board of people who decide what will and won't be French. They really are reluctant to have franglicised words put into it. And certainly Maori, since its renaissance in New Zealand, with lots of white people self-consciously saying kia ora 35 years ago, is a language that's used by many people, it's used every day, and so it changes very fast. And absorbs a lot of words.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to say that we are immersing English words with the Palawakani as well. So, but we're not just using single words in Palawakani, we're using phrases. And so we are using that with English as well. It is still being retrieved. So there are still gaps that we're working on. But how we've evolved that over the last 20 years...
Have you focused on being able to describe traditional life or describe contemporary life in the languages
both,
that's being retrieved?
Both. And we're in a position over at Risdon Cove on our own land with our children's services. So engaging children early is, reflects all that comes under the national framework about children's belonging and becoming and sense of identity. So within our service, we don't distinguish between contemporary and traditional. It's who we are. They're our cultural practices. So, yes, language is used as you enter the building, as you're greeted, as we answer the phone, in our songs, in our stories. And we certainly are proud with our two-year-olds who can... all in Palawakani, do a welcome to country. So, and that's the families are so proud of that as well, and the community. So, it's such a positive experience for our community and our children, and indeed for the wider community who embrace, the Palawakani use and use of dual naming, which we're very passionate to do in Tasmania.
So, can you give us a word for today, Alison?
I certainly
that people can.
People
can take into their day and use?
Nairi Nina Tu.
Nairi?
Nina Tu.
Nairi Nina Tu, and that means?
Thank you.
Nairi Nina Tu. Well, thank you.
Thank you.